Hello, listeners. Welcome to our summer series spectacular. If you're fans of any of these podcasts, then you know we've been releasing some special episodes over on our Patreon. And unfortunately, we have not gotten the response that we had hoped. So we have discontinued our Patreons for now, but would like these episodes to be enjoyed by a larger audience. I want to start by apologizing to the people who did pay a few dollars to get these exclusive episodes when they were exclusive. Your generosity and support is still very appreciated, and hopefully in the future we will offer some more exclusive episodes over there and see if we can't get a few more supporters to join you over on that special feed. But until then, we're going to be releasing these special episodes right here, right now, and all summer long. On the Time Pop feed, we have some what we call time travel-ish movies. Things that are kind of, you know, maybe time-altering, mind-bending, reality-fuckery kinds of movies that I think you will enjoy on this main feed, even if they don't fall directly into our time travel purview. I may or may not have used that word properly. Whatever. For our Thank the Light audience, because there's only so much Wheel of Time content out there. Over there on the Patreon, we were experimenting with some other fantasy movies. So hopefully you're just a fan of Justin, Jeremy, and Desmond talking about stuff. So we're going to have some fantasy film discussions on the Thank the Light feed. And on the Movies R Us feed, apologies. We're going to take a little bit of a break from official Movies R Us releases just because we got really busy. You know, we knew this summer was going to be a little bit busy. We were doing our best to get caught up. And Desmond is moving. Justin is probably going to be moving. And Jeremy doesn't want to do the podcast by himself. So we're going to, again, hopefully you're just fans of us and what we talk about. And even if it is not an official toy-related product, hopefully you will enjoy us talking about some fantasy movies over there as well, just because our voices are beautiful. I hope you enjoy these special episodes. If you're only subscribing to Time Pop, why don't you subscribe to Movies R Us and or Thank the Light so you can get some other exclusive movie content. If you just like to hear us talking about films, it's going to be a great summer. We will definitely be back with new content. We have some very exciting things we're going to put into motion for Thank the Light. Movies R Us is just going to be back in full effect later this summer. We're liking what we're doing over there. We have a lot of fun movies to talk about. And if you're a Time Pop fan and you like listening to Scott and I just talk about weird, mind-bending movies, let us know at timepoppod@gmail.com. That is timepoppod@gmail.com. If you're enjoying this, us expanding our definition of Time Pop movies, and we may put more of these types of movies on this feed in the future. If you're a Movies R Us fan, just let us know when we get back to our official Movies R Us. Let us know some movies you want us to move to the top of our list. That is moviesruspod@gmail.com. That is moviesruspod@gmail.com. And if you're a Thank the Light fan, Wheel of Time fan, as you know, the show is getting put off. So we're trying to figure out the best way to discuss the books. Again, we've got some exciting things that we're going to do there to try to hype up those book discussions as we wait for more Wheel of Time episodes to get back to Amazon Prime. And if you enjoy listening to us talk about fantasy movies, maybe we can squeeze one of these in here and there just to spice it up as we wait for Rafe Judikins to get those episodes out to us. And whatever feed you're listening to, send us a message. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, because these shows are nothing without you. So if, you know, we're not going to listen to all your suggestions, but if you want to sheepdog us in a direction that makes us more fun to listen to and maybe bring more people into the fold, we would love to hear from you. ThankTheLight@gmail.com, TimePopPod@gmail.com, MoviesRUsPod@gmail.com. That is movies, the letter R, us, pod@gmail.com. Enjoy. Did you just land the spaceship? Oh, shit. Hold on.
Desmond recording?
This is the part of the show where we tell all of Desmond's deepest, darkest secrets. Did you know that when the lights are out, Desmond likes to roller skate in his grandma's lingerie? He dances around the room with his Marilyn Manson on, covered in nothing but fake blood, making art against the canvas. To him, it's a measure of juxtaposing the will of society and questioning what is art. This is how Desmond...
Hey, Desmond's back.
Whoa! Ooh, little bonus gift for our patrons. I like that. Okay, you done chewing?
Yeah.
We got to get into this so we can give our fabulous patrons their money's worth. So here's, let me tell you a secret, Scott, Nari. I don't know what I'm doing. I didn't want to come to this Patreon with a plan and just be like, this is how we're going to do it. This is our show. This is the patrons' show. I haven't even picked out the new music yet. Like the fans just heard music that I haven't even discovered yet. And this is an alternate universe podcast in a way, in a sense. So what's our alternate start?
Wow. Anything could happen.
Anything. I could slice the webbing of my hand with paper.
Ooh.
And get magical kung fu powers.
Multiverse.
So you're not going to welcome the Chrononauts, huh?
No, I'm not.
This is the Patronauts. You can use that. That's free.
You guys should welcome our Patronauts.
Welcome, Patronauts of the 43rd dimension. We live in a space of no rules. Every dimension you can imagine is possible. Every decision you have ever made is splintered off in alternate reality. And we're going to examine and explore all of those at the speed of thought.
You have made the choice to subscribe to our Patreon. We're here to make sure that was the right life choice for you.
This is an alternate dimension. In this dimension, we don't talk about time travel films. Why would we do that?
No way. We got enough of that on Time Pop. This is Pop.
Pop Emmett.
So what we're going to be, if you haven't heard out there, for the Patreon episode, we're not going to do the Time Pop classic feed. It's going to be classic time travel movies. And we've been talking a long time about how to squeeze alternate universe, time travel adjacent-ish type movies into our Time Pop feed. And instead of doing that, we're going to make this alternate reality feed where the movies about alternate universes, kind of time travel, not all alternate universes. Like, we're going to do some like people that are frozen for a long time. That's kind of time travel, but not really. But we want to talk about it because.
So what do you call it? Reality? Distorted reality?
This? Yeah.
Yeah. Any kind of distorted reality. We could watch some weird trippy 60s movies like The Trip and kind of see what happens.
What was the Does the Dog Die category that we found?
Does the Dog Die category?
Remember, there's a trigger factor of...
Oh, yeah, right.
Of people... There's a whole trigger audience out there, Ari, about, like, reality-bending movies. Like...
Yeah, it's a trigger. It's a separate trigger.
Like a trigger warning for reality-bending?
Yeah.
They Groundhog Day was on the triggering.
Like,
list. If
you had a really bad acid trip when you were younger, you might get triggered
or if
by...
You're on the border, you don't know what's real, and you feel like you're on the border of losing it, and watching these films that bends that kind of mess, like Inception, I'm sure, is on that list.
I guess they could be almost like, you could almost call them gaslighting as a narrative.
I could say, like, you know, I have had an anxiety attack in my day, and in that state, I would not want to watch Inception when I already feel crazy. In that state, I want to watch like a John Hughes movie. I want the simplest. I want my friend. I want something that's easy and goofy. So I get it.
Because for people out there that don't know, that's not an alternate universe for Scott because he went to Shermer High School in Shermer, Illinois.
Uh-huh. I got so many detentions.
All right. Well, we've talked about all the stuff we might do, Ari. What did we do today?
We watched Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yay! Could we have started off with a more... Well, we could. Doctor Strange is pretty crazy.
This is a pretty hot one for right now. I mean, the conversation comes up a lot with like Loki, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, Ant-Man even, but like this is a pretty hot track. This is a good starter.
This is going to kick us off.
This is considered a new, I think a lot of mainstream people that don't even see the Marvel movies saw this one and be like, I've never heard of multiverse. This is very exciting. I don't know why they're all Jewish grandmothers. Oh, I had a bagel and I saw a multiverse film.
Oh, I put, I'm not putting everything on a bagel ever again. Just locks and capas for me.
The bagel of nothingness.
Kelly would not watch this with me.
Why?
She has refused to watch it. This is one of those movies I know she would love if she's in the right state of mind, but she is I wouldn't say she gets triggered by alternate reality movies, but like if she's not in the mood for it, she's having none of it. And I have not caught her in the right headspace. And tonight was yet another like, nope.
Right.
For this one.
What does that mean? I like having my brain bent.
Yeah.
Do you guys like distorted realities?
I mean, obviously we like our brains to be bent in some way, shape, or form. That's why we love time travel. Time travel is the ultimate mess with your mind, make you think, confuse the heck out of you, try to figure it out.
I'd put this right behind it though. I'd make this a good second for like, you know.
Multiverse.
Yeah, it's fun.
I'm just always down for cinema.
you'd be down for like Men at Work. Like that's Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen is garbage men.
That's where Kelly and I have so much trouble because she loves shows. She likes the long story. She likes to settle in for episodes and years and all that stuff. It's like, I want to get in and out in 90 minutes and it's done.
Yeah.
Credits roll. I get it.
I prefer cinema. I have a background. I like, you know, the titles coming up. You get all excited. The music. You're about to go on an hour and a half journey. I like it.
Yeah.
I support the arts.
Beginning, middle, and end.
I challenge. When we do this today... We're not going to try to regurgitate the plot from beginning to end, right?
No.
Like, we're not going to try to, loosely maybe, like an overall.
Well, I got to go.
Actually, you could do it. You could do bullet points of like 5.
Well, I got to go delete all those tweets that I put out there promising the Patreons that the episode would be at least as long as the movie.
Just to start, what did you guys think of it?
Well, actually, hang on.
Oh, you got it. You're doing the thing.
Let's see.
It's an alternate universe. I don't know what the rules are anymore.
I don't. What I'm gonna do for the alternate universe is do what I always forget to do on Time Pop. Won't that be a twist?
A logical order?
Everything, everywhere, all at once from 2022, 2 hours and 20 minutes. We'll definitely talk about that. Written and directed by Daniel Kwan and who's his little partner in crime? Daniel Scheinert. Starring Michelle Yao, Stephanie Sue, Jamie Lee Curtis, Ki Hu Kwan, James Hong, Jetty Slate. How did she sneak in here? She doesn't belong in this cast. Just a phenomenal, phenomenal cast.
Yeah. You liked it?
And what's your history with this movie? When did you guys see it first?
We saw it early in the theaters, right? Mm-hmm. It was, yeah. I can say my first reaction, I was very excited about it because I love multiverse. I saw the trailer, it looked wild. This is an example of I expected so much. I expected weird multiverse theory. I expected geeking out science stuff. And this movie at its base is like a family film, multi-generational family film with heart. And I walked out that first time, just enjoyed it, enjoyed the creativity, a little bit disappointed. Better on the second watch now that my expectation was different. I wanted this to be the Doctor Strange, the Loki. I wanted it to bend time and space and get fucking weird. And I wanted to see all these alternate universes. And you do in some segments, but on the sillier side, it's so now, whatever. It is a well-crafted film. I like that it gets into the absurd and it has heart to it also.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about you guys?
I don't think I ever saw a trailer for this movie. So I went in with very little expectations and loved it.
Yeah.
I really like this movie. I thought it was just has everything. It's got the story. It's very well layered. It's got, like you said, the heart, the love story between mother and daughter. And it's just a really, really well done, well shot, well edited, well cast, well written, almost perfect movie in my eyes.
Ooh.
Very nice.
That's hard to get that from an Ari. They just got a gold star.
Yeah.
Perfection. I saw this movie twice in the theaters. for one reason and one reason only. The first time I saw it, I was on a double feature, and instead of Barbenheimer, I did Bob's Burgers and Everything.
Wow.
I just wanted to spend a day in the theater, was not super excited to see Bob's Burgers, but I wanted to see something, and it played at a perfect time where it then got out and allowed me to see Everything Everywhere All at Once. So, of course, I am crushing sodas this whole time. So as much as I'm trying to stick to my run pee guidelines, somewhere around the middle of Everything Everywhere All at Once, I couldn't wait for the next run pee signal. So I had to ran pee on my own accord, and I came back mid-bagel scene. And I was just like, fuck, I missed everything.
Yeah.
So I came back and watched the whole movie in the theater again, just so I could see that the 4 minutes that it brought it all together.
I think you could benefit from like a bag receptacle or an empty large containment unit to bring in the theaters.
Well, I think as well,
you have a catheter?
You're definitely right there. But what Run Pee needs is a don't fucking dare miss this 5 minutes.
Right.
Like they need the opposite of like, hold it. Like, if you can't wait for the next official time, don't go at this point. Because I literally could have gone at any other time of the movie and been like, oh, okay, I see what happened. I'm back together, but the whole bagel.
All right. So now then you saw it twice and?
Saw it twice and then saw it the third time at home. This movie is so fucking good. It is the only reason I will keep it from perfection is... You know me, I rate movies on rewatchability a lot.
Mm.
That last half hour is a fucking grind the more you watch this movie. The last...
It's emotional, it's slower, it's emotional.
The last 40 minutes of this movie is in slow motion. Like, literally.
Yeah.
And, you know, which the first time I saw it in the theater was just like, oh my God, what's going to happen? It was beautiful, it was perfect, I can see why they did it. But for the rewatchability factor,
yeah,
like
I see what you're saying.
It really, I'm like, okay, I will still get it if you move it along. I promise you.
Yeah, it's a lot. Some movies are great, but they're not easy. You know, I don't know if you like Schindler's List or not. But you're not gonna watch that every weekend. There's no way. It's a Breakfast Club. Yeah, I think that makes sense. Yeah, this is a great film. I mean, you guys are inspiring me to want to do a top 10. Alternate reality movie list.
Well, I think at the end of the year, we'll take our first 12 Patreon movies and we'll rank them.
Yeah.
We'll call it Scott's Dozens, a dozen of Scott's.
It has all the things, right? I love to go from like hard sci-fi to absurdist comedy to heartfelt, like, but like also simple with it's, but complex. It's interesting. It's really, it's well done.
The first time I watched this, I did not realize that was Jamie Lee Curtis until halfway through the movie.
What?
Like, which is absurd, I know.
That's how good a job. I love roles like that. Like, her role is fantastic.
Yeah, she's wonderful. All right, I'm going to let Chip out.
This is the point where we say embarrassing fun facts about Desmond. Desmond has a bladder the size of a pea. And we believe it's like a colander. Hence why 40% of our conversations are about his urinating. Oh.
God, get your tongue out of my ear.
Sorry, I was talking about you.
So for those who haven't seen this movie, quit jerking off and go watch it. We'll talk.
That should be the name of the podcast.
We'll talk about some highlights. Oh, and by the way, had this been on the regular feed, what would my constant have been?
I thought you were saying at the beginning when you made the paper cuts with your webbing.
Oh, no.
What would the constant... Do you have one and we're supposed to guess it?
Yep. I wrote it down because that's just how I take notes. I always start right.
Oh, I know what it is.
Is it a real one or are you just trying to be obscure?
No, it's from the movie.
I mean, it's from the movie.
No, I know, but is it an actual constant or are you just trying to be obscure?
I mean, I would say it is, but...
I've got one. Do you got one?
You know...
It's a game show. I've got a guess.
Is it the bagel?
No.
Is it the hot dog fingers?
Oh, no.
Oh, shit. All right. It's not bagels, it's not hot dog fingers. Is it googly eyes?
Yeah. We have a winner.
Yeah, I think that counts as a constant.
I think so, too. I forget that. Yeah. Like at the end when she's fighting with them and stuff, like that really is the main thing. The chapters Do they really make sense, or those feel as forced as I feel they are?
I didn't stop to analyze. I've done a deep dive in this film since we saw it. I've kind of checked out all the analysis and research articles, so it's interesting. But I didn't pay that much attention to it. I get the all at once at the end.
Yeah.
I don't remember what happened when they posted everywhere in part two in the second act. Do you?
Where is it? I have it written down here. Everywhere. It's way at the end, like the first. Oh, it's when it's at the end. Like when the credits roll, after the credits roll from the theater movie, when we're with Hollywood version of Evelyn, the credits roll, they try to trick us. We all know there's an hour left of the movie.
Yeah.
And then that's when part two everywhere starts. And then the last 15 minutes is all at once. So I don't know. I don't know. I just thought it felt a little bit forced. So yeah, so this movie is really, it's really interesting. They have this, an Evelyn, our main character Evelyn from the Alphaverse has figured out how to travel, what do they call it?
Verse jump.
Yeah.
Verse jump.
And so they put this weird little earpiece on, they do some weird, so it kind of slingshots it. So they do some weird random act that connects them with a universe very close, but then they can slingshot to a universe farther away. Is that what they said?
That's the science, right? Yeah.
And it's just your consciousness.
Right.
And it's a random act that the odds are so against that happening, and that directs you to this strange, to a specific point.
And somehow they could, but they can calculate what this random act is.
Which, yeah, they have an algorithm.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah, totally. The award butt plugs.
Oh my God. They don't even hesitate. Like, I know it's fine. That's what you have to do, but you still feel like you'd be like,
That scene is so funny and so cringy to me.
When they're wrestling with the butt plug awards.
Oh man.
I love the blurry penises in that scene. It's so great.
It's so funny.
Yeah, those guys are like, they're like soldiers, basically, right?
You mean in the Alphaverse?
Like, they come from the Alphaverse. Like, when they descend, when at some point they're like, everybody in the area, go now. Where we don't see where these people start from. I mean, the Alphaverse, like I said, they're like soldiers. They're like trained mercenaries that are verse jumping, which is why they don't even hesitate to do it.
They learn how to do it. And obviously that's where the first, I don't know if you want to say villain, it's not really right, but they're worried about her destroying the universe.
Jobu Tupaki.
Yeah. In the article that I read, it just really sounded fun for them to say it. There's not like a lot of, there's some other reference, one that's similar, and they just like the way it rolled off the tongue. It was just.
Well, and it was fun to hear them. It was perfect because, of course, the main character, like, she keeps hearing it and she's like Tofu Chewbacca? Like, what are you talking about? They have some fun with that. But when we first see, like, that was one of the things where last night I was like, holy shit, we're going to see Jobu already. Like, I don't know why I felt like she was like the boss at the end of the movie. But when she shows up and really shows off her powers, that is fucking cool.
Oh, when she... I mean, you might want to speak on this. I already had some physics questions about this. I'm not sure. Well,
at first, you know, I was like, she is able to manifest things out of...
arrange particles.
Yeah, out of nowhere. And I was confused because at first it's just consciousness travel. Like, your consciousness gets slingshotted to another version of yourself in a parallel universe that has some skill. And then your minds are like shared and you have their skills and they are kind of experiencing what you're experiencing. So it's just consciousness travel. But then the bad guy lady, it seems like she's actually traveling physically from universe to universe. And when she goes to this alternate universe, she has the ability to change matter, right?
Is she physically? I thought she was taking over the daughter in that. In the other universe, but she would rest up.
Yeah, well, because she has so much control over, like you said, matter, like she can take over whatever body she wants and then manifest it into whatever outfit.
Okay, so so she's also consciously traveling, but then when she like made somebody's head turn into confetti and all the other things that she's physically able to change the atoms in that universe, and she said it's just rearranging matter based on some other universe where people's heads explode and they turn into confetti, but that's actually transporting physically. Like, you're tapping into...
Well, because the way
the way they map it out on the phone, they map it out like these universes are so far away, but she's so powerful, she has all but collapsed all the universes into one space, I think is what it is. Because
okay,
that's how I took it.
I thought she had put it that like because of seeing everything, her knowledge of everything is like there's no difference. She almost understands time and space. There's no difference between you and me and the lamp. These are just molecules. And if you like understand that and see all that, then you can work with it and rearrange it. And
yeah, she said some comment about it's just rearranging atoms or rearranging matter.
When you see, it's almost like if you see the infinite.
Like that's like his head was always confetti. Some, you know,
yeah.
His head was always brain matter and it was always confetti and it was always ketchup.
Yeah.
And she just, you know, puts the one forward that she wants to. Everything, everywhere, all at once. And like when she's like, yeah, when her weapons are...
Oh, yeah, they blow up bubbles or something.
And I mean, you gotta love a good dildo sword fight. I mean, that's always funny. I don't care how many times I see it.
Yeah, a lot of people saw this with their kids and they're like, what? Yeah.
It's a flashlight. It was kind of big.
What is it rated? Is it rated...
It can't be R.
R? Right?
It is R.
Oh, it is
okay,
R.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that's appropriate. The articles I read out, you know, refer to like, obviously the bagel is the like, the black hole of everything and like the end of the universe. And they refer to the googly eyes as kind of the yin yang to that. And that's the symbol of like positivity and joy and literally a reverse image of the donut hole with the husband being kind of on the other side of that, right? Trying to bring in joy as opposed to despair.
And by that. And of course, her name is Joy.
Right. Her daughter's Joy. And yeah.
Joy.
They talk about the like Evelyn's obviously a product of like multi-generational trauma, right? From her dad rejecting her. And then she lives this life where she's doing that with her own daughter and her own husband.
Yeah, definitely picked up on that.
Yeah. Spending most of her life regretting other possibilities that she did not achieve.
Yeah. Yeah. And in this universe, every decision, like they definitely focus on a couple of big decisions.
Right.
But like they
said that she could have been a few different things. She could have been a chef. She could have been an actor. She could have been a singer. She could have been a martial artist. And she gets to see some of those. But in the end, right, she goes to accept it. She ends up like realizing, you know, seeing her husband for who he is and seeing him as more strong than weak and coming to kind of terms with that.
That dude is my hero.
He came back from what, like a 30-year retirement for this movie?
Well, the character is my hero.
I meant the actor. Yeah.
The actor was trying to be an actor the whole time.
Oh, I read that he didn't want to after Indiana Jones, and he's been an assistant director because there were no roles for Asian males.
Did you hear there was when everything goes haywire at the very end, and we're hearing everything and seeing everything? There's a very funny.
Yeah, yeah, I did hear it. Yep.
In all that chaos.
So, the way that I read it, so at the end, she ends up in an alternate universe where I kind of still thought of it originally like, oh, they're back and now they're doing this. But like that she kind of jumped to a different world where they were getting along better and she was working within that system. That's how the articles had kind of put it. Like everything kind of almost got destroyed in one world, whatever. She went to like a different one. It's still, I mean, she's still everywhere all at once. So that's why at the end she was kind of distracted. She's still, but like she's choosing to love and be more positive. And she found a world where they were all working together, right? At the end, they're doing their bills together and they're getting there on time. She's being nicer to the...
You took that as a new universe than where we started?
All the articles that I read today about it, that's what they're kind of suggesting.
Really?
It's an alternate universe where they're all kind of working together better and she's working with them. You know, in this one, she's been a much nicer approach to the Jamie Lee Curtis character, right? And she was always like, all the bad things were her own doing, right? She wouldn't let her family help her do the taxes. So that's why they weren't done well. She was mean to her husband. She's mean to her child. She's miserable all the time.
So does she go to prison?
She's not nice to Jamie Lee Curtis. So Jamie Lee Curtis is not nice to her. And at the end, the family works together. They get more of the bills in on time. She's relating to Jamie Lee Curtis. They're just everything doing it with a little more joy.
No.
Yeah. Look it up. That's what they're suggesting.
I reject that premise.
I kind of want to see the end again now, knowing that. Like, did they end up going into the bagel? Did that universe get destroyed?
No, she pulled her out.
Right, she pulled her out, right?
Yeah.
But there's no...
Oh, no, you're right. Because while she's pulling her out of the bagel, we're simultaneously seeing her hug her next to the Volvo, aren't we?
Yeah.
That's great.
And, like, we're not time traveling in this film. And so to go back to this world where Jamie Lee Curtis is not yet upset, like, they've been good with her and they're all working together. I don't know. I guess I didn't realize that until I read the article. I didn't see it that way, but I see what they're saying.
Yeah. This was the first time I realized, the third watch was the first time I realized that we spend, by the way, our the universe that we're watching most of this movie from is the 4,655th Thetaverse. And this is the first time I realized that it all takes place in that office building. I don't know why, when I thought about it before, that they like left the off. I mean, obviously they do by traveling through, but even that, like,
oh,
when they go into that office with the sex dungeon,
yeah,
and Grandpa reveals himself, like, that's still the same office building.
So it's just the office and the laundromat and their house, which is above the laundromat.
Right.
Those are the only settings. Oh, the parking lot.
Well, and then they do some, and then there's the restaurant in some alternate universes. There's the restaurant. There's Jamie Lee's house, the where her and Evelyn are falling in love in the hot dog finger.
The article I read said they wanted to make a reality that would be so ridiculous for her to be able to, like, come to terms with and get to loving. The person that was her enemy, she was in love with in this universe, and with hot dog fingers, and to make that journey to learn to, like, accept that and love her and stuff. And that is a pretty ridiculous jump.
And do they squeeze ketchup and mustard from their fingers? Because there was always ketchup and mustard involved in those.
That was weird.
It's a different mating ritual. They don't eat the fingers, though, right? No one ate the fingers?
I don't know. There was ketchup coming out of their mouths.
Yeah.
Weird. So weird.
Nasty.
It would be interesting to listen to this podcast without seeing the film and being so curious to see it. Listening to us talking about this, man, what the fuck?
Man. The fanny pack kung fu.
Yeah.
I could watch that scene. I just, that's like my new pump up video. Like, I'm just going to watch that 5 minutes. Whenever I need to get ready to go kick some ass, I love it. Especially when he's like battling and then he's like going in for another one. He grabs a handful of rocks out of the fish tank and heavies it up just so he can really hurt somebody.
I think Ari had said at one point, she's like, it's kind of like the Matrix.
Yeah, there's a lot of Matrix vibes as far as like the people in the alpha universe on computers monitoring with an algorithm. And then they have like the earpiece in and they have to tap into them and they say, I need an exit. And, you know, the one person who...
destined to save them.
Yeah. And they, you know, can change the reality of their current place. So I got a lot of Matrix vibes.
Totally. They use the phone booth to get away almost.
Yeah.
I didn't like the earpiece. I mean, I guess you had to have something, but I think it's just because they're so big and floppy. Like if they had been a little...
They look like our earpieces back in the 90s. So at some point, and yeah, guys, correct me on this. So she is jumping around a bunch. There's a few points that just to escape, she tries something random, not knowing where she's going to go, right?
Yeah.
Is that what it seems? Yeah. And then at some point, she's traveling so much that she kind of gains the knowledge and knows what she has to do to go to a certain place.
Well, I think after she makes contact with some verses, she like knows how to get there. She's like, oh, I can tap into Kung Fu Lady because I've been there.
Right. So it doesn't stay. Like once she has Kung Fu Lady, it seems like it doesn't stay. She's got to tap in again later.
Right.
You would think that knowledge would stay like in Matrix, but it doesn't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Especially as powerful as she's supposed to be. Like for your run-of-the-mill jumper, maybe not. Well, towards the end, isn't that kind of what happens? Don't they all stay?
Well, eventually she picks up speed, right? She knows what to do to go in different universes. And at the end, she just sees them all at the same time. They can tap into anything.
Yeah.
And they were suggesting that she was the one for this because she had tried and had so many failures that she only had more to fill up.
So much potential.
So much more potential to tap into the other universes where they'd achieve more.
Sorry, ask that again.
It seemed like they were saying the reason they picked her was that she had so many failed kind of like hobbies, so much wasted potential that she was the one because she could jump to the worlds where they were more singular minded and had fulfilled certain potentials.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Something like that, which I can relate to because I have knowledge of much and master of nothing. I know a little bit about everything, but I can't actually do it. So I am Evelyn. Evelyn is me. It was so funny. They called it. I would not have noticed this as usual. I had my subtitles on because, you know, I know how to party. I liked it when she stapled when Jamie Lee Curtis stapled the receipt to her forehead. They referred to her as Bagel Deirdre because of the circle. And it's so funny. I remember this too. The very fucking first time I saw this, I had no recollection. I don't know if they mentioned anything from a trailer or what, but when we went into that break room and it had bagels, I was like, oh, that's something. Which, you know me, I normally don't do. Like, that stuff usually just flies over my head. But I had the wherewithal to be like, well, it wouldn't, whatever they put there is there for a reason. And sure enough,
they had bagels as the symbolisms.
And when Jobu Tupaki shows Evelyn the bagel for the first time, that was at the 1 hour mark exactly, Scott.
Perfect.
Just the way a movie should be. Oh, and this also is another reason I love this movie is the nothing matters. That's one of my catchphrases. But like when we're going through some frustrating time about something stupid, I'm just like, none of this matters.
There's some universe where we've got hot dog fingers and there's some universe where we did this and we didn't. It's whatever.
So then Grandpa, he ends up. So is Grandpa also from Alphaverse?
There is an Alphaverse Grandpa. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He is from Alphaverse. So he pushed Evelyn into pushing Joy in that universe as well. And now he's trying to clean up his mess. Is that
yeah,
what's going on?
That's assumed, yeah. On some level. He abandoned her in this one. Yeah, do you guys think it's funny? I guess with multiverse, we don't have to talk about the science being sound. It just works on this level. I mean, as long as it has a logic flowing through it. The only questionable part is the rearranging molecules. But I could buy into that if you're, you know, if you even like say the Limitless, where you use 100% of his brain and it kind of changes how you see everything and work with everything. Once you see the full fabric of space and time, I could see that. There is not. I mean, we are just different molecules, right? I mean, we're just so there's no difference between the desk and our skin and the air. Just the speed at which it goes. Yeah.
The idea that at a molecular level, no atoms are touching just breaks my. The fact that it's just crazy to me that this desk at a molecular level, none of that matter is touching itself. Hurts my goddamn brain.
Yeah, that's why we do it.
All right, Scott, you can have any power. You can be really good at anything you want to be good at. The catch is you got to live with a raccoon on your head. What skill do you want Raccoonie to give you?
Oh, man.
Ari, feel free to jump in.
Same raccoon situation?
Yep.
I would want to be like a super genius mathematician engineer.
And they're pulling your hair for the.
You just don't know what you're writing. Your little chalk hands just going really fast.
I would either be guitar playing, breakdancing, or cooking.
Oh, go with guitar because my answer is drums. So we could have a sweet band.
In the articles I was reading, they were saying, coming from their own like Asian family experience, I had one relative that would always misname everything.
Yeah.
Like Takuni, and that's kind of where that came from. There's a lot of absurd shit in this film. You know, now that we listed all the hot dog fingers, the Rekakuni, the jumping on the butt plugs, butt plug wrestling. Yeah.
Speaking of trigger warnings, I mean, the butt plug thing. Yeah. That's nothing compared to Jenny Slate doing dog foo.
Oh, yeah.
That's madness.
She was good at playing like a bitchy customer.
Oh, the pinky.
Oh, the muscle pinky, right.
I have like at the end, I have a bunch of, let me see. I have dog foo, butt plug foo, pinky foo. Oh, yeah. And I always forget that Evelyn actually flatlines. How does she come back after the flatline?
When does she flatline?
Somewhere towards the end. Oh, at the end of the movie. That's right. After she flatlines and then the credits roll and then we walk with.
What is she flatlining? No, they're just asking her and she's like listening to other universes. And then she says, sorry, could you repeat that?
No, she actually flatlines.
How is she? She's just sitting talking in the office, talking to Jamie Lee Curtis. The last scene is.
No, I know it's not at the end and not at the end of the real movie that we watched at the end of the movie that's inside the movie.
Oh,
she flatlines. And do they just leave that? I guess they do.
The fake movie within the movie. That's fine.
But then we go back to that. I mean, that's still a universe. Like we go back to that office building to finish the movie that we're watching. So I can't remember how she.
Do you guys think if multiverse exists, does it have to be
for every possible decision of every person? You know what I mean? Can it be like, does it have to be that infinite of every possible decision of every single being and thing that could happen? That could, I mean, that's obviously infinite.
Yeah.
Or could it be a rigid version like they do in like the comic book universe, where like this is world one and world one this happens and world two it's this? Or would that not make sense? It just seems to be for every decision just by yourself is already quite an infinite array of universes. But
I mean, every time you go to a restaurant, that's 27 universes.
It's a lot more than that. Do you pee then? Do you order that? Do you yell? I mean, if you do every possible outcome, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's hard for us to apply logic to this or not.
Well, I think they do a pretty good job. Like at some point they allude to the idea that like every fucking...
Yeah, that's what they say.
Every time. But then they also, but when you're looking at the app on the phone, it really only highlights leaving home, getting married, having a baby, buying a laundromat. And like those things, like I feel like that would be, if this exists, you're asking, you know, in a real universe.
I'm trying to do the science behind this. If it exists, does it have to be that kind of infinite for every decision or not?
I mean, I guess.
Could it just be like there's a world and in this world you do, there's like 10 worlds and in this world you're this, in this world it's not based on every infinite decision of every moment?
I'm going to say.
Or does it have to be?
No, I'm going to say it because you're even in alternate universes, you're likely to make certain decisions based on, you know, the fact that you've received a similar amount of stimulus. Like most of the time you're going to choose the same thing in every universe ever. And then there's the occasional universe where, you know, you don't marry that person or, you know, something like that.
We wrapped it up for you. That's our definition.
So, yeah. So the movie, like, you know, as it goes on and it just gets crazier and crazier, we get to the everywhere and then we get to the all at once and everything really starts to collapse in on itself. And, you know, Jobu Tupaki is trying to drag her mom into the black bagel and destroy everything. Is she trying to destroy everything or just is that just where she's going to go to die?
That was a good question. I can't tell. Yeah, I can't tell if she was just, I think it was supposed to be everything. That was the whole point of the first universe.
Yeah.
It's kind of the selfish, I don't want to exist, but I think for her not to exist, everything has to not exist.
Yeah. And so, you know, she starts to realize, oh, and through this whole thing, her husband is carrying around divorce papers. So that's a thing that's going on and she figures it out.
Everyone around her hates her. She's like really miserable. It's inherited trauma from her dad who abandoned her and told her she was no good. She tells her daughter she's fat and to say she cares. She doesn't talk to her husband. She doesn't let anybody help her. But it ruins every aspect of her life. And at the end, it's the opposite, right?
Yeah. And she realizes, so she goes to all these different universes where, you know, she's about to get divorced from Jamie Lee Curtis and that one because she's miserable in that life too. She's miserable as a movie star. She's miserable as a rock. And then she realizes, I forget where it comes from, where...
It kind of all happens, right? Her feelings for her daughter. She goes back to like her dad. She stands up to her dad. She realizes how great her husband is in an alternate... That one where he's wearing the tuxedo, where she's an actress.
Oh, that's right.
Has a big speech.
Yeah, that's right. Because he's just like, yeah, everyone thinks I'm weak and a loser, but that's just me letting things roll off my back because there's too much.
That's his strength. Yeah, it takes more strength to do that.
Yeah, you can't. And then so she starts to appreciate her goofy husband who's always putting googly eyes on things and seems like he's not, you know, doing a very good job, but he's doing just fine. She's a control freak and, you know, she needs to take on a little bit more of that fun part of life. He somehow talks like Jamie Lee Curtis puts Evelyn in cuffs and is going to take her away to jail, basically. And he's just really nice and polite and honest with her. And she lets her go. And so, yeah, she starts to come around. And then she realizes that she needs to pass this love and affection on to her daughter. And, well, she passes it on to everybody, actually. She starts, you know, going on this big kung fu rampage.
Yeah.
And throwing googly eyes on everybody. And, you know, she's basically got the power of Jobu at this point. But she's using it to bring people together and love and to be happy with who they are, like, you know, the guy. And this is the first time I was able to track everybody that, like, one of the guys she's fighting with at the end is one of her customers at the beginning of the movie So she uses the information she has about him to spray his favorite perfume on him, and that makes him super happy. And
she puts the googly on as like a third eye.
Yeah.
He's the anti-bagel.
She, after, you know, first everything crumbles, you know, she makes things worse for Raccoon Guy. She kicks Jamie Lee Curtis out of the house. She's signing divorce papers. And then now she's, you know, telling her daughter, you know, fuck you then, just leave. And then all the universes at the same time start to come together. And she's making amends with her husband, loving her. Does she make up with her father, or does that one just...
She stands up to him. And then she also declares that her daughter is gay in front of him. And he comes around. When she brings the positivity, it heals every aspect of her world around her. Family, the daughter, the dad, the taxes, the business.
The rocks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the rock scene.
Which is most universes. Most universes never got around to life.
Yeah. It feels like a film that was directed by like Spike Jones. Yeah, if we're talking about reality bending, I would think of being John Malkovich for sure. Like scientific and absurdist at the same time.
Yeah, totally.
So the director of this, they did, I've never seen it. What is it called? Swiss Army Man.
Oh.
Have you seen that?
No.
So it's a ridiculous, it's another out there plot. It's a guy on a deserted island whose best friend is this corpse that I guess ends up talking, and they go on adventures.
Awesome.
Watch the trailer. It looks pretty absurdist. It's you could see.
That sounds very absurdist.
Yeah.
Scott, that's absurd. So I'm going to bring back a classic bit and look for a review or two. But you know what I think we should do for this? Because we never do it for the other one. And I think it's too late to start it on Time Pop. We need an official rating system.
Oh, okay.
What do we want our rating system to be? Like, it's an alternate universe, so we can get weird. We can rate it from monkeys to giraffes.
Wow.
Well, here's a couple of great reviews from Rotten Tomatoes. Much too much to take in.
Huh.
Worst movie you could ever see in your life.
Oh,
what the hell? And this won an Oscar? Have they lost their minds? What the hell happened to the industry?
Oh,
I wish I could look. I can't click on this guy. I need to know what kind of movies this guy likes. How can you be verified? And I can't click on your name to find out what else you're reviewing. I'm disappointed.
I thought most people like this.
Boring, nonsensical, but mostly just boring. Oh, confusing, noisy story, hard to follow. Oh, that's fantastic. It was the worst movie.
Wow.
It was the worst movies I have ever seen.
What's the overall rating?
It's 86. But like everyone who's watched it recently, you know, the people that are just like, fine, you know, obviously this must be good because everyone's talking about it. Blah, blah, blah. They're just like, nope. I mean, the top review is excellent acting. The title says it all. What a crazy but such a funny movie. Hard to get into at first, but hang in there, folks. You know, there's plenty of good ratings, but you know, that's not what I'm here for. That's not what I'm here for. I feel like we should have a movie rating system.
You could go for something basic, like, you know, out of 4 out of 10, or you can go absurdist and be like, this is 4 dildos. I don't know.
Is it Police Academy 1 or police? It could be Police Academy 1 to Police Academy 6 in declining order.
that's a real specific audience.
Police Academy 1 is a flawless, perfect movie.
Wow.
No, we could just do a good old-fashioned recommendation, just like you should see it or not. Maybe not do a rating, but just do a, like, you know, save your time or fucking...
You can give it out of 10.
All right.
Is that too basic, bitch?
I think it's a good place to start. We can replace the numbers later on if we get cute, but I think maybe we can just reverse it where number 1 is the best and number 10 is the worst.
Numbers make no sense. It's like our 2 is better than the 8. The 8 is higher than the 6, which is lower than the 1. And the
1, 3, 5. It's based on how many letters are in it in the number. No. Yeah. We'll just do 1 through 10. I'm gonna go 7, just because I really want to go higher than this. Like the first time I saw it, I probably give it a 10, but or a 9 or something like that. But I really, you know, I can't help it. I rate things on rewatchability. And, you know, I don't know that I'll ever watch this movie again after this. You know, I think three times is probably good. You know, if Kelly ever wants to watch it, maybe I'll do it again. But it's really fucking good. I think it has an amazing message. You know, just the nothing matters, so everything matters. So if you want to take care of everything, then relax, which is a message that I, you know, spend most of my time talking to my therapist.
It's tough. I really love and respect it, but I gotta, you know, movies don't get 10s for me. That's pretty rare. 9's really high.
Well, is Interstellar a 10, Scott?
No. I don't know. They're like a very small handful of movies that get 10. 10 is a perfect film. I mean, Interstellar would be close, right? Let's say if Interstellar and Back to the Future are in the 9s. Yeah, it's gotta be a 7.
Yeah.
It's gotta be a 7.
Yeah.
I mean, you can call it 7.5 if you want to get fancy.
Yeah, I do want to get fancy.
Yeah.
We're going to break it.
You could do a 7.7. You can do it. You can do decimal systems.
Here we go, Scott. We're not allowed to rate any movies exactly equal, ever.
Fair.
So the next movie that's a 7 has got to be a 6.9 or a 7.1.
All right, I'm going to call this a 7.2 then.
7.2. I like that.
You going to record these?
Yes, I am. I'm just going to go straight 7 just to really complicate things. Thank you so much for joining us out there in Patreon land. I can't thank you all enough. You're amazing. We're going to keep doing this. Please send some recommendations. We want to watch movies you want us to watch. You can kind of see where we're going. So, you know, send us some recommendations in general. If it's time travel, we'll do it on Time Pop.
Thank you, Patreons.
Thank you, Patreon. Thank you for patronizing me.
Now you're just being patronizing. Thank you for your patronage.
I won't try to sell you on anything else because you've already bought the best podcast you could have bought. Tell your neighbors, tell your friends. If they want more Time Pop, this is where to find it.
It's gratifying to know there's other nerds out there.
Oh,
that want to just take these things and stretch them way further than we need to and discuss them way longer than we need to and pick at them and love them.
We're basically, you know, in some form or fashion, we're getting into string theory because we're just stretching these things out into little pieces of spaghetti until next time.
Yeah. See you in another lifetime, another dimension. See you in another reality. See another you in another reality, another us.
Whatever everything I might say has already been said. I'm Desmond McNeese.
I'm Ari.
And I'm Scott.
Bye.
It's a secret receptacle.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.